I'm excited to preach again this morning on It's Christmas. And what do? When we preach about Christmas? And last week we looked at God with us, Emmanuel, the birth of Jesus, but we looked at it from a totally different angle. Today we're looking at the gift of reconciliation. We started all about this morning, I can't remember who it said in our, when we were praying, that it's all different kinds of gifts and we get excited about gifts. This is the greatest gift, the gift of reconciliation. Remember we started last week and we said, it's not what happens around you, but what happens in you that matters. We can have all kinds of nonsense going around us, but it's what is happening inside of us that is matters. And we said last week, the theme that we're going to do over the over these 3 weeks is on earth, peace, not peace on earth. That's a nice notion. It's not biblical. because and we even got a beautiful Christmas card this week for one of you lovely people, and on the front of it said, peace on earth. And we go, yeah, but it's on earth, peace. And we understand that because while God's chaos is, not God's, the worldly chaos is around us, God's peace is in us. And as followers of Christ, as His children, we carry that peace with us. I hope we do. Because we want His favor upon us so that we can take peace to the world. We are the light of the world, the salt and light, we thought what the scripture tells us. We are a reflection of the light of hope and the word of Jesus. So on earth, peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for some people. No, for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. And you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And we looked at the intricacies of that last week. And suddenly, there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. And what that really means, as we said, there on earth will be peace to those whose God's favor rests on. Isn't that a good thing to know? On earth there's peace because God's favor is resting on me. So as we said, we should be looking for God's favor more than we're looking for peace, because the peace is the byproduct of His favor upon us. And so last year we looked at it and we said, well, Jesus came to earth, and in secular history has been recorded 3,400 wars over that period of time, and there's only been 268 years of peace within that. And just to add to that captivating stat this morning, did you know that in that same time frame there were 14,351 wars that took place? Now, when I say a war, I mean a war with meaning 1,000 people or more involved. So under that, 14,351 wars. And out of that, with 8,000 peace treaties were written. How many of those peace treaties do you think were fulfilled and brought peace? Guess. Zero. Zero. Not one. Thank you, Dr. Google. Yeah, it's not because I'm that smart. If you are looking for peace on earth, you will be looking for a long time. But what we do have is on earth with peace. God brings us the peace. John 14:27, I'm leaving with you a gift, reading from the Living Bible, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile. In our prayer meeting this morning, Joshua quoted the scripture. Like the peace the world gives you, so don't be troubled or afraid. Here's Jesus giving us an assurance. Stop being worried. Stop being afraid. Stop being freaked out for the younger people. Because Jesus is saying, I have a gift of you for peace of mind and a peace of heart. It's not like the world gives it. The world gives is fragile and is temporary. 8,000 peace treaties and not one of them were upheld. And just that's why the covenant we have with God, you know, we talk about, we're not going to go into it this morning, but I just thought I'd mention it. A syntheke and a diatheke. Syntheke means that a covenant between two people, the Greek word for it, meaning two people cutting a covenant, which means it can easily be broken. Diatheke means from the greater to the lesser. The father cut the covenant with his son, and we are the lesser that receives that covenant. And doesn't matter what we do, we can't break the covenant, and he will never break that covenant. And that's the good news of the new covenant with us. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. Last week, we looked at what steals our peace, and we came up with a number of things. Unavoidable circumstances, unbearable people, unexplainable problems, uncontrollable worry. And today, with the gift of reconciliation, I want to talk about, drill down a little bit and talk about people. Unbearable people. Unavoidable circumstances, sometimes caused by unbearable people. Unexplainable problems, sometimes caused by uncontrollable worry, sometimes caused by dot, 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 dot. I want to talk about us. Is that okay with you? You can hallelujah and amen me as much as you like. I don't mind. Just don't throw stuff. It's obviously that mostly in our lives, peace is broken by those around us. David wrote a song that says this, Psalm 120, verse 6. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. A little bit of Tolstoy there. War and peace. No matter how hard I try, the people around me are always at war. When you want peace and are looking, others are looking for war. It messes us up from the inside out. The societal norm is if someone is mean to you, then they tell you, get mean back. Right? You have to get revenge. You can't just leave that alone. You got to get into their face. You got to get revenge. You got to get mean back. You got to get even. How do we react when our boss gets mean with us? Or maybe you're the mean boss. I don't know. Maybe I'm the mean boss. How do we react when the 401 gets busier and busier and busier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? How do we react when our children become more rebellious? Or when our parents just dial out even more for the kids. Sometimes some people are just obtuse. Unbearable people. Why are they so obtuse? Yeah, when we first came to Canada, I'm telling you, when you come, thank you for that amazing testimony this morning, the Parks family. When you come into a foreign environment, I know we all sort of speak English, but everything's different, trust me. Some more than others, yes. Thank you, Dom. When we come into a foreign environment, we had a townhouse that we rented, and we had a landlady from we have no idea where. Oh, man. And we were like, what are our rights? We don't know what. So I actually ended up getting online and studying Landlord Act and all this kind of stuff. And then eventually we had to leave. She made our life so unbearable, we had to leave. And you know the people said mostly to us? You should sue her. You should sue her. I wasn't raised that way. So I said to Bridget, you know what, babes, we're just going to take the hits and we're going to move, and whatever the case may be, let it be. And we are happy. We never had any regrets. We never like, oh, well, why didn't we sue her? We could have got X amount of dollars. And we were like, nah. In general, people are not working towards peace. Just do something strange on the 401 and you'll see how people are not working towards peace, how unforgiving people are. I heard a story of let me talk about this pastor. I trust you'll still love me afterwards because I'm not perfect. So I was at the traffic light and a guy pulled up right behind me. It was like, and of course, I'm like at peace at the traffic light, sorry. And I looked and he flashed his lights at me and I'm like, what? I'm waiting for the traffic light to turn. And he hooted. Now in Canada, it's okay to hoot. In South Africa, you do not hoot unless you want to get out your car and talk. So he hooted at me. So I was like, hey, what? What? Eventually he wrapped around me and he looked at me and he showed me signs. So I was like, I've had enough and I got out the car. Because you can't do that in South Africa. I got out the car, and he saw it, and his eyes went big, because he saw this little guy in the car, and then when this guy got out the car, And he went through a red traffic light. And I was like, okay, don't follow, Mark. Just get back in your car. I got back in my car. I was all at peace. And I got to church on Sunday. A guy said to me, Pastor, what were you doing at the traffic lights? I said, what do you mean? He says, I was crossing and I saw you get out your car. And like, serves me right, eh? I had to get back in my car and calm myself. The problem is that we need to be working towards peace. And also, when everything is chaotic around you, remember that? Allow the peace of God to be living in you. I call this the relational downward deterioration. It's like a downward staircase. The first thing we have is when we get into an offense or an argument or something simple, or even to just something as simple, a misunderstanding. We cause distance between ourselves. We have a relational conflict and thoughts. Our thoughts and our beliefs and our attitudes need to be checked at the door before we go in. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk to that person. I'm just going to neglect this relationship. I know none of you do this, so I'm just saying to tell you how the rest of the world live. Come on, let's talk about it. Let's flesh it out. No, I don't want to talk about it. I'm done. Thank you. We shut people out when we create a distance. The problem is that when distance is not dealt with in a godly manner, we make ungodly inner vows. I'm never going to let that person treat me that way again, and I'm never going to talk to them again. I won't let them speak to me like that. And what that does is puts up a wall. Now we have a wall because we don't want to be hurt by people, so we build walls. You've heard this before? The problem is that when we build a wall, you keep your heart protected and you keep the bad people out. That's the logic. That's the good thinking. But the same wall that keeps the bad people out keeps the good people out too. And as far as you say, you can also keep God out because I have this wall. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. And sometimes what we do is we stay away from the gathering of the saints and we go into our own little man or woman cave and we sit there and I'm going to deal with this all by myself. How's that working for you? We've become so protective about our heart, we shut everybody out. If you ever tweet, you can tweet this if you like. Walls are a two-way resolution, not a two-way reconciliation. This is not a resolution, a conflict resolution teaching today. This is about a reconciliation. We protect and stifle the very thing that the Bible says is the wellspring of life. And God gave us emotions and feelings to interact and to care for one another. When walls are not for your own good, as you suppose, because walls that are not dealt with lead to an escalation. When the small situation becomes so out of thing, you know, it's like you have an argument with someone and then you see them walk in the front door and now it's a small thing, but there's a little bit of distance. But then you go, no, I'm walking this side of the church and I'm going to walk in that side of the church. Or no, let's see where they're sitting, so I'm going to sit over there and I'm not going to talk to them. Now, it's difficult for husband and wives to do that because that's very apparent. So, if you just check. Okay, you're all sitting together. Okay. I didn't mean for this to get out of hand like this. You remember we make a mountain out of a molehill? You've heard that expression? That's exactly it. And sometimes we listen to what people are arguing about and my face is smiling, but inside my head is screaming. You are arguing about what? See, I preach to myself as well as my family and there you go. Little things that we've made become so large. Great weapon of escalation, as the Bible describes it. It is a small member. It is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. You need to learn to put a bridle and guard that thing and help it. But we use this protective force to take the high road when we feel that we're going low. When we wallow in our own self-created mire and we drag others down with us by saying things that belittle them. This is what we do when we're escalating things. Do you know, when I was in business, I was the marketing director for a company, and I used to tell my sales reps, please don't ever go out and sell the product we have by pulling down the competitor's product. That just tells me you don't know anything about your own product and you have no confidence in it. Do me a favor, rather than go and sell their product. Rather, so if you're a salesman, here's a hot tip. You never sell what you think is so good. You actually sell the benefits of your product. There you go. A little bit of business for you this morning. The next thing is when we've gone down this road so far, the steps that we get into false beliefs. You start to believe about things that aren't even there. It's in your head. The pastor didn't greet me this morning. He didn't greet me an hour ago. So therefore, he must hate me. He doesn't like me. Or I said hi to someone and they just ignored me. Well, probably because they didn't hear you. How's that? If they're looking at you, you could go, you know, like a landing a Boeing, you know. Hello, Chris. We create a false belief system of inaccuracies. John 8, the Bible says that the enemy is a liar and he is the father of all lies. And sometimes we have to learn, not some, all times, we should discern. This is the enemy telling me this stuff is not the father. The father will never tell you bad stuff about people. Hot tip, that's in his nature and his character. He cannot tell you something ugly about someone else. He won't do it. Here's another hot tip. When you are hurt or offended or you're in a bad place, you are the last person you should be taking counsel from. Your vision, your perspective, your process system is clouded, the filters are dirty, and you don't see so clearly. We call that in the Greek a scotoma. Means a blind spot. You can't see it. I have blind spots. I need other people to tell me about my, send me emails now. But I need others to tell me where my blind spots are, because that's why they're called blind spots. I don't see them. That's why I'm married to an amazing, wise woman, and I have a daughter who is not afraid to tell me. You can't trust you when you're offended. And then we make another worse thing. We go and we ask advice from the world. They're looking for war. They're not looking for peace. They're not giving you godly counsel. And then we go and listen to the world. Your belief system has been hijacked and have been instilled a false belief. Then we end up in hostility. It's the next one down. We function in hostility mode towards others. Hello, good morning. How are you? I won't mention names, but someone told me the other day, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. Thank you. They said, tell your face. I wasn't impressed. You know who you are. It was like, then I had to go home and think about it. Wow, did my face say something that it shouldn't, you know? Well, it's the only one I'm born with, you know. Yeah, well, slap a smile on it. It'll help. See, I can say this because I've lived this. When families won't or can't get, I mean, this Christmas, it's Christmas. And then, well, are we having Christmas with uncle and auntie or mom or dad or in-laws or outlaws? I mean, you know, it's because there's no peace. Because we have to fight now. Well, who should we go to and do what and how? Hostility is not a condition between two people. It is the condition of your soul. David wrote another psalm. He said this, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. Why is my soul so disturbed? I'm not sure, but I'm going to look to God, because he will remind me, he will be my perfection. And then the last one in this little thing is, war. Now we're at war because we've left things for so long. Let me tell you, to reconcile with others should do it quickly. David, quick, laid before the Lord. I mean, go and read it. It's a fascist Psalm 51. Goes and lies before the Lord after the prophet Nathaniel has told him, you're the dude who's sending the guy out to war, and if you've got 100 sheep, why, you've only got one, you know the whole story. And he prostrates himself before and says, Lord, please don't let my son die. And then his son dies. And David gets up, washes his face, and carries on. And you go, he doesn't really care. No, he does care, but he understands that God is for him, not against him. And when we get to war, sometimes, you know, sometimes when I stand in the pulpit, I weigh the words I say because I know they have an opportunity to offend. They have an opportunity to point things out. And sometimes it should offend. Sometimes I hope it would offend. The only reason, not so that you get offensive, but that you would go, man, I heard that, and Lord, I'm going to make an adjustment. Having said that, so here we go. Sometimes there is a war raging within you. You might not want to acknowledge it, but there is one. But what happens is that war spills over to others and affects others and touches others. If you're not at peace within your soul, you're probably not at peace with God. Which probably also means that there's stuff in your life that you haven't submitted fully to God. Today we're going to give you an opportunity for that. How do you get that, Mark? Well, I'm so glad you asked. James 3:14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If you're harboring bitterness and jealousies and offenses in your heart, don't talk about it as though it's a good thing. It's like, well, I've got this naughty badge. I'm, you know, woo, I've got my badge. I'm going for it. And, you know, Chris upset me and offended me, and Chris is not fresh, and, you know, but look at me, you know. No. That's ugly. That's gossip. It's slanderous. Don't lay the blame off on somebody else. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's not my fault. Take responsibility. Be reconciled. You keep peace from yourself when you deny the truth. And we live in our own little bubble world. Then it goes on and says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. It's unspiritual. It's of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Worldly wisdom teaches you revenge and let's get even. The world shouts you have a right to be mean to the other person. They should pay for what they said to me. They should pay for what they did to me. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's of the devil. That's all the bad news. The good news is the gift of reconciliation. At Christmas here, we're getting the gift of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate the birth of the Christ. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus, because he was going to usher in a whole thing. And we'll see just now, and people ask, well, what ministry should I do? There's only one ministry that was actually given to us. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Anyone remember that time? Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has both made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And what they're talking about there is actual fact. They're talking about the wall between the Jew and the Gentile, and they're saying he's broken down this hostility wall. And also, if you went into the synagogue in those days, the priests and all the Jews could sit on the inner circle. Then there was the outer circle with a wall around it. And that's where all the Gentiles could sit. And then there was another wall up in the thing, and that's where the woman could sit. And what Jesus is coming, if you broke anything, you'd have to write on the wall what your sin was. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm breaking down those walls. There is no wall. There is nothing that separates us. We all are welcomed into the inner court, as we know, through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. Three truths to peace. Number one, you won't find peace until you make peace. When you make peace, you'll find peace. I don't know if I can. I'd just rather be a peacekeeper. Peacekeeper is not a good thing. It means that you just let everybody run all over you. Because I don't want to say anything in case somebody gets upset. And, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's your attitude and your heart. You can say something that is good. We understand it. I'm not talking about just simply acting better and behaving better, thinking I'll get along with others better. You won't. The six downward spiral patterns need to be broken in our lives. Sign up for freedom sessions. Did I say that? It's okay, Mark. I got your back. Make peace. Settle issues with others in your heart. Doesn't matter who it is. You won't have peace until you settle these issues, because it's going to come up and remind you. So some of you know that I was in the military for a number of years, and then I left and got into business and did my whole deal and was carrying on, and then I recommitted my life to the Lord, and then I decided one day that I'm going to go with Kia into Mozambique, which was ex-war-torn, just like Angola was, and I thought, no, I'm good over this. Me, I got no issues, I'm good. And as we crossed the border, I saw all the buildings with bullet holes and everything. And all of a sudden, memory kicked in. Doosh. My heart started to pound, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? Well, why am I freaking out? I'm saved, I'm okay. Well, because it was an area that I actually hadn't dealt with. I'm good now, so it was a long time ago, and I'm good now, and I've dealt with all that kind of stuff. But it's something in your, if you haven't dealt with it, you will get distance and hostility and escalation and all this kind of stuff until somebody says something, and then that thing comes up inside of you all over again, which means you haven't dealt with it. But if you can just talk calmly about it and be okay about it and at peace about it, then you probably dealt with it. We don't war against people, we war against principalities and powers. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Very interesting. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, semicolon, not comma. For the English students, you'll know what that means. It basically means that it's just not like the rest is, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. It's a new thought, but it ties the two together. That's why the semicolon is there. It's time to pause to go, oh, okay, that's one thought. Now there's a whole bunch of things. The point that I'm making is that the wisdom from heaven is pure. And because that wisdom from heaven is pure, it is also peace-loving. And it's, what else is it? Considerate and submissive and all that. Heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Once we accept it and take hold of it, it's pure. There's a result of pure heaven to the peacemakers. It's, what does it say? Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And we go, wow. If I'm peacemaker, I will be peace-loving. I will raise a harvest of righteousness. And what does that mean? And I understand that we have the imputed righteousness of God in us. Don't confuse the two. It means that when we don't have peace, because righteousness in right standing with God means that every time you bring the right standing of God into a situation, peace will come. Mark, you don't understand. There's no peace in my marriage. No, I do understand. We didn't just grow like Topsy, you know. We had issues. And sometimes still do. But we are peacemakers. And we are peace-loving. And so when I bring the right standard of God into my marriage has peace. My finances are all over the place. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do a budget. Speak to Dom. He'll help you. I don't know what to do. Well, bring a right standing, God's right standing, into your finances. It'll bring peace. Pick a situation or a subject, and we will see, well, what is God's right standing in this situation? There will be peace. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed, happy, joyful, ecstatic people. When you find the situation around you is chaotic, you will experience internal joy and happiness and peacefulness. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they will be called what? These are the guys who get it. These are the people who get it. If I do this, if I bring the right standing of God into this situation, I am making peace, I am reconciling, I will be blessed, and I will be called Son of God. Amen? I know I'm preaching 60% better than you're responding, but that's okay. Number two, you make peace through reconciliation. Oh, really? Yes. Reconciliation is an accounting term. Reconcile your checkbook. Ask any of the banking guys here, how do you reconcile your checkbook? How do you reconcile your account? Well, what does that mean? It means bringing the balance to zero. Who likes zero on their credit card? Once you've balanced it, of course. Of course, we all like that. This is not a conflict resolution teaching, as I've said, but when we have some conflict resolution, all might not be at peace. Because conflict resolution might go, okay, well, we'll just agree to disagree. That's not reconciliation. Bank reconciliation is bringing the bank balance to zero. 1 Corinthians 5 says, love holds no records. When we truly love one another, we will hold no records against each other. Because we will be reconciled. Do you want to have peace? You make peace by bringing the bank balance to zero. Jesus didn't resolve our sin. He didn't look over the parapet of heaven and go, okay, Ken and Brenda, I see you. I see your nonsense in your life. I'm just picking on them because I could pick on you all. We should pick on us all. And I'll resolve your sin for you. And if I think, let me show you how to behave better, how to do things better. And then when I think you do it, I might let you into my heaven. No. He said, I'm going to bring your sins, your bank balance to zero. I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to reconcile you to the Father because that's what I'm all about. He came to reconcile us, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, zero balance, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you. We beg you. We pressurize you. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Father and the Son make a big deal out of reconciliation. We should make a big deal out of reconciliation. When the Father said, I'm sending my Son to reconcile us to the Father. Then he goes on and says, I've also given you the ministry of reconciliation. You know what they take also as a big deal? The fact that we've received reconciliation, but we don't want to reconcile with others. It's too hard. No, it's not. Did you get beaten up and stabbed and crown of thorns stuck in your head and nails in your hands and your feet and stuck in a cross and it's lanced through your spleen? Mm-mm. No, we didn't. None of us did. They make such a big deal about it, and Matthew 5:4 says this. You ought to have aught against your brother. Leave your gift at the altar. Don't come and give me your gift. Go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. I know this is not impressive preaching. This is truth. Go and make right with your brother first. Then come and offer me. It's okay, I'll just shun the window. Oh, there's... They're here today. What am I going to do? 1 John 4:20 says this. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, dare I say it, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he cannot see, who has seen and cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Some of you today need to resolve some issues. But what I'm saying today is reconcile with your brother and sister, your family. I'm not talking about just here, if there is people here. I'm talking about your family and your neighbor. And sometimes it's really hard. Another person asked him, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? He said, actual fact, there's actually not one, there's two. He said, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, da-da. And love your neighbor. Love your brother. Hot tip. Let it go. Now, I'm not reducing what might have happened to you. I'm not reducing the circumstances. Please hear me clearly. I'm not saying what was said to you was right. It probably wasn't right at all in any shape or form. What was done to you wasn't right in any shape or form. But if we're going to be the peacemakers, the one who claim Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're the ones who got to do it. You will live with peace in your heart and mind. And the last one, you can't reconcile until you've been reconciled. We must first be reconciled, first to bring the bank balance to zero ourselves. Proverbs 16:6, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You can still have enemies and be at peace. Because we have the inner peace of Christ Jesus. On earth, peace. The Prince of Peace, which we'll look at next week. Psalm 23 says, in the face of my enemies, he set a dining room table before me that I can feast on his goodness towards me. And because he is the good shepherd, he has his two best sheepdog looking after me. Grace and mercy follow me all the days of my life, guiding me wherever I go, Psalm 23. And he anoints my head with oil. So I am his peacemaker. Through him, I can be his peacemaker. So just wherever you are now, let's just put down your pens and papers if you're taking notes. And God is speaking to you right now. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you don't know the Lord, Jesus your Lord and Savior, surrender to him right now. Bring the balance to zero. He's already made the balance zero. All we have to do is accept it. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for me. I surrender my life to you this morning, Lord God. For those of you, Lord, give me the capacity to bring reconciliation to others. Father, will you help me to be the peacemaker, to bring the right standard of God into my marriage, the right standard of God into friendships. Holy Spirit, would you invade us this morning, Lord God? Lord, as we just offer ourselves to you this morning, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of reconciliation. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given this ministry to me personally. Thank you, Lord God, that you've said that I should go out and give this ministry to others. Lord God, I want to be a peacemaker for you, Lord. Lord God, I want to reconcile with those that I've never reconciled before. Lord, I want to find that peace that I've heard about this morning, Lord. Lord God, thank you, Lord God, that we are here today, that we are gathered. Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to us. Just take a minute and just you do business with God wherever you are. Say, Lord God, I don't want to just resolve stuff. I want to reconcile. I want to be a reconciler. I want to bring the balance to zero in my life and be the peacemaker that brings the balance to zero in others' lives, Lord. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you're working in our lives. Lord, even when we don't know you're working, we know you're still working. Lord, let me go from here today and let me be more in tune with what you are saying to me. Lord, if there be anything in my heart, Lord, and I pray this for myself as well, that is untoward to others, Lord, reveal that to me this morning, Lord, that I may repair that, that I may reconcile that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Enjoy. Have a wonderful day. God bless.